Chapter 23, in which Feely and Keely are not orphans. They ought to have known it would happen at some point. When the sons of Durin were arrested a second time, after the battle which brought down Smaug, Bilbo knew that any chance any of them had ever had of anonymity was long gone. Their faces and biographies were plastered over every paper, their stories chronicled in loving detail online, and their individual and group psychologies analyzed to death on news programs. The media coverage of the trials was enough to drive a person mad if they hadn't already known the members of the group personally. For Bilbo, who loved them all, it was nearly torturous. Somehow, Gandalf and Thranduil managed to keep his name and picture out of most of the coverage, and for that, he was unutterably grateful. By the time his family had served their sentences and been released, making their homes upon the mountain once more, the media coverage had mostly died down. It was a relief to be able to look at a paper without seeing their faces on the front. Bilbo had the most benefit from it by then, as he had somehow become the family's go-to fetch-and-carry person, and so it was Bilbo who saw it coming before any of the rest of them. He was on a supply run in Edinburgh, speaking to his vendors to correct some of the shipping issues that had still not been worked out for deliveries to the mountain, when the paper caught his eye. "The sons of Durin stole my children!" The title was all in bold capitals, and Bilbo's heartbeat seemed to double in speed. He held up a hand to beg his contact to stop for a moment, and darted over to pick up the paper, ignoring all the other stories. The picture beneath the caption was of a sorrowful-looking man with Feely's hair and nose and Keely's most perfectly practiced woebegone look. He read a little way into the story, ignoring the impatient sighs from the vendor. "The Sons of Durin may have become something of a celebrity group in Scotland since their role in bringing to light corruption deep within the heart of the Scottish government, but not everyone sees them as heroes. For Gregory Campbell, age 46, the Sons of Durin represent every parent's deepest nightmare. Campbell spoke to us today and claims that he was married to the sister of notorious criminal Thorin Oakenshield, making him the father of the two youngest members of the organization." "I didn't get to see them grow up," Campbell told us, trying to contain his emotions. "They're my sons, but I don't even know them. Oakenshield stole them away while my wife was on her deathbed, and I've never been able to track them down." Campbell tells us that his intention is to seek reunification with his sons. The article went on from there at what looked like great length, and further down the page, Bilbo spotted current pictures of Feely and Keely, and what must be some rare shots of their childhood, at maybe 4 and 6 years old. There was a burning sensation in his throat, and he clutched the paper tightly. After everything they had been through, to have the lad's father reappear on the scene just as things were getting to some kind of equilibrium just seemed too unkind. He broke off the aborted conversation with his vendor entirely. "Look, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to talk another time. Just do your best to see that our next delivery is on time, right?" Bilbo left the room quickly, already grabbing his mobile and debating who to call. Feely and Keely had avoided as much of the public eye as possible since the trials, but that wasn't saying much. He was willing to lay odds that anyone sufficiently determined would be able to find the lads with very little trouble, and while he didn't doubt their ability to handle one middle-aged man, he was not about to let them face the father they had never known in front of a hungry media presence. He dashed off a quick text to Thorin, letting him know that he'd be a bit late, and took off for the lad's little flat as fast as his feet would carry him. They lived together, of course, with no regard for personal space or privacy. Their flat was evidence of an unsettled childhood, and it always disturbed Bilbo more than a little to see the place so empty, as if they were constantly prepared to jump up and flee at a moment's notice. It was how they'd been raised, and even a year of settled domesticity with him had not been enough to sway them from the habits of a lifetime. Bilbo let himself in with the spare key, not bothering to knock.
"Hiya, Uncle Bill,"
Feely said lazily, not looking up from the laptop he was crouched in front of, fingers moving faster than Bilbo's eyes could keep up with.
"Just a second, yeah?"
"I'm afraid it's a bit urgent, my lad," Bilbo said, standing on tiptoe to peer around a corner into the tiny kitchenette of their small flat. "Is Keely here?"
"He'll be back in 4 minutes,"
Feely replied automatically, not bothering to check any timepiece,
We didn't know you were coming by today.
Yes, well, something's come up, Bilbo said, scurrying over to peer out the window for sign of either Keely or a horde of news trucks. Can you lads come back to Banhearn with me right away? Then Feely did look up, brow furrowed in concern.
What's wrong? Has someone been hurt?
Not yet, Bilbo muttered darkly, and I'm trying to keep that from happening.
Feely nodded, and jumped up to begin throwing things into a satchel he kept close at hand, which already contained a number of both his and Keely's personal items.
Bilbo shook his head silently, heart aching a bit. They were such good soldiers, sometimes, ready to move on nothing more than a hint. He supposed it had kept them alive for a long while, but it was not right.
Keely burst in, all sunshine smiles and wild dark hair that had been blown in his face by the evening breeze.
Uncle Bill! I didn't expect you!
He flung himself at Bilbo, but Feely stopped him with an upraised hand and a quick, sharp whistle that must have years of meaning behind it. Keely sobered immediately and began to help his brother pack. They both looked years older all of a sudden, and Bilbo felt immensely guilty at it.
"Who's down?" Keely asked, eyes wide and frightened.
"No one," Bilbo assured him.
"I'm sorry to burst in here like this, but something has come up that I know Thorin would want to deal with, and the two of you ought to be at the mountain when we discuss it. There's no danger, as such, but we'd best not linger."
They were out the door in 2 minutes, and it felt like the beginning of their adventures all over again. The lads had thrown on their black leather jackets, and the easy grace of their movement let them slip into the shadows until they walked nearly unseen, while Bilbo was left blundering on, trying not to look behind them at every step. He hid the paper inside his own jacket, and hurried them through the train station, hoping they wouldn't spot the headline in any of the little shops along the way. By the time they reached the little village that was taking shape on Banhearn, Bilbo felt a nervous wreck. And the sight of Thorin standing watchfully in the door of one of the small cottages they had completed was an intense relief. He paused just long enough to check that Frodo was happily engrossed in video games with Sam Gamgee and the other children, before heading for Thorin. He pushed the lads ahead, closing the door with an audible click, and then leaned back against it, breathing a little too heavily. It was the work of a moment to hand Thorin the paper, creased as it was from the uncareful journey, and Bilbo watched intently as Thorin's face darkened. Feely and Keely crept wordlessly behind him to read along, eyes barely visible to Bilbo over the slope of Thorin's shoulders.
"Get the others,"
Thorin snapped as he neared the end, and Bilbo could only nod, not interested in correcting manners at the moment. They were together within minutes, though some of the older men had been half asleep when he called them in, and were blinking blearily into the lights, long hair and beards an almost amusing disaster. Thorin was pacing angrily by the time they all gathered, seeming to call all the light and attention in the room to himself as he moved back and forth, a figure of righteous anger that Bilbo would hesitate to confront for any reason.
"Campbell's coming,"
he said without preamble, holding up the paper so the rest of the Sons of Durin could see the picture.
"Claims we kidnapped the lads and kept them from him all along. He'll bring the media with him." "We never did!"
Dwalin rumbled, as close to shocked as Bilbo had ever seen him.
"We only ever did what Dis asked." "But they're adults now,"
Beaufort objected loudly. Even his furry hat looked angered and offended by the news.
"He can't do anything about it."
"He can drag every detail of our lives back into the media circus,"
Balin murmured wearily.
"And every detail of their lives, more to the point."
Bilbo blinked at the idea, vague horror beginning to creep into his gut. He didn't know how much evidence there would be, but if Feely and Keely were made the center of a huge story about kidnapped children, then any chance they still had for a normal life would be gone. Every crime they had committed, every injury or lack of proper schooling or allegation of neglect would be brought forward. And then where would they be? He shook his head violently.
"He's got to be stopped!"
They turned to look at him, eyes full of misplaced hope, and Bilbo cursed the fate that had led the gang of hardened criminal masterminds to believe he could rescue them from every predicament. "I'm afraid I don't know the whole story," he said apologetically.
What is it that he wants here?
Who knows?
Thorn growled, still pacing wildly.
Not them, that much is clear. He never bothered to so much as check whether Keeley'd been born after he took off.
Happened when Feely was no more than a babe, Dory said sadly, giving a little sniff. He worked out who his in-laws were, and took off running.
My sister never went after him,
Thorn explained in a low growl.
Decided he wasn't worth keeping if he didn't want to make an effort for his children. We left someone at her address for nearly 10 years, and he never made any sort of contact, or sought custody.
So he's either after their money or their fame, Bilba said thoughtfully. If it's money he wants, there is not much we can do. The mines were far from fully operational, and every bit of capital they had was sunk into building this new little world for themselves, away up in the peace of the mountain. And if it's fame... He trailed off, and narrowed his eyes, thinking hard.
I never liked him,
Dwalin rumbled, fists cracking audibly as he tightened them threateningly.
It was never good enough for her.
You never liked any of the lads who came around after our deaths.
Balin corrected him gently, offering a kind smile. He wasn't always a bad sort. Didn't have what it took to keep up with her, of course. But there's few who could have done. Bilbo finished typing a quick email on his mobile and hit send, refocusing on the conversation with the sudden sick realization that they'd been discussing all of these matters in front of the lads themselves. He turned around a bit anxiously, and was unsurprised to see they were shoulder to shoulder, heads down together, perusing the article and muttering away at top speed in the private language only they spoke. "What do you make of all of this, my lads?" he asked gently, going over to stand in front of them. "I'm sorry to spring it on you this way, but I only saw the paper this afternoon myself." They gave simultaneous identical shrugs, both with veiled expressions that Bilbo could not read. "I never knew him," Keeley said simply. "I don't know what to think. I'd have to talk to him to get a read on his angle. I remember bits and pieces, but nothing substantial," Feely mused, eyes lost somewhere in the distant past. "He used to sing with Mum, I think, when they weren't arguing." Thorn was looking twitchy, standing near the door now as if to place himself between his nephews and all the dangers of the world.
"We'd better sit down and think,"
he began, and then there was a knocking at the door that left them all startled. Bilbo shook his head in resignation as he looked around, seeing that almost every member of the group was suddenly sporting some form of weaponry that had not been visible before, even the men who had been getting ready for bed. Thorin growled at the door like a wolf, and Bilbo rolled his eyes, marching forward to draw him back.
"And what good will that do?" he hissed, shaking his head. "Let's handle this like mature adults, shall we? Weapons down, everyone."
They looked to Thorin for approval, and Bilbo held his breath for what seemed like interminable seconds, until Thorin nodded, and all the weapons were suddenly gone again, leaving harmless-looking men behind.
"Boys, keep quiet," Thorin ordered. "Let us do the talking."
"Right, because that always goes so well,"
Keeley muttered. His eyes were wide and dark, and the lads had twined their hands in one another's sleeves without seeming to realize what they were doing. Bilbo recognized their fight-or-flight response, and his heart went out to them. But there was another knock at the door, and Thorin was storming forward to throw it open, glaring intimidatingly out into the cold evening air of the mountain. It was nearly blinding, despite the late hour, as the dozen or so photographers immediately began to snap pictures of Thorin and the rest, leaning as close in as possible around the slight figure who stood directly in front of the door.
"Come in if you're coming, and leave your pests outside,"
Thorin growled, turning his back on the flashing mob. Campbell made his way in, and Thorin slammed the door behind him.
"If you're going to kill me, brother, please do remember there's a crowd of witnesses outside," Campbell said.
Bilbo was relieved to find no trace of either of the lads in his tone and bearing. Except for the facial similarities, the man would have seemed a total stranger.
"I am not your brother,"
Thorin hissed.
I warned my sister not to take up with you.
Yes, you did, Campbell said coolly. And then you stole my sons away as she lay dying. Not the best family behavior, I must say. A rumble of protest went up from the assembled men at that, and Campbell looked around, shrinking into himself a bit as he saw their numbers and the anger of them. Not exactly the nicest family reunion, either.
You're no family of ours,
Dwalin said, eyes narrowed to dangerous slits. No, but I am theirs, Campbell said. He nodded directly at the lads, who were watching him wide-eyed, but hadn't moved. Hello, boys. It's so nice to see you after all this time. Unwillingly, the sons of Durin were forced to let a path open up as Campbell made his way over to where Feely and Keely stood together, still silent. It was eerie to see them so still. Keely, isn't it? Campbell asked pleasantly, reaching out to offer Keely his hand. My word, but you do take after your mother. I'm so sorry we've never met until now. Keely did not take his hand, or make any move to untangle it from Feely's, and Campbell shook his head. Feely, then, you'll remember me. I've missed you, son.
He's not your son, Thorin said.
His voice was rough and strangled, and Bilbo could hear everything in it that he was not saying.
Genetic testing will say differently,
Campbell shot back, not taking his eyes off the boys. Their mother and I might not have seen eye to eye in all matters, but that much I do know. They're mine, and no one else's.
What do you want from us?
Feely asked. He seemed to be wavering somewhere dangerously near hope, and Bilbo's heart broke for him. Can't a man want to see the children who were stolen from him? Campbell asked piteously, reaching his hand out as if to touch Feely's hair. You were so small when I left, and now you've grown so tall. I never meant to miss so much of your life. There was another rustle and murmur of discontent around the room, and Bilbo thought the man must be some sort of idiot to make this fuss in front of all of the sons of Durin.
Well, you did, Feely said stiffly. We did just fine without you, too. Can you please leave now?
It sounded like it cost him something to say it. I suppose it was a bit much to hope that you'd come running back to me, he answered with a sigh. Given time, though, I'm sure we can make a go of this. You two should come with me for a bit. We can get to know each other. I think it will be very beneficial all around. Keely straightened up, then, seeming to come back to life. He gave a sparkling, mischievous grin, shooting it past Campbell to where Bilbo and Thorin now stood side by side, radiating tension back and forth to one another. Bilbo found himself answering that smile unconsciously. Keely knew what he was doing.
3 out of 10,
he said diffidently, looking Campbell up and down with a cursory glance that seemed to take in the entirety of the man.
You've dressed all wrong for the part. Your body language is screaming aggression instead of any sort of affection, and you've clearly been sizing us up for our monetary worth. I wouldn't have fallen for that when I was 6.
Campbell blinked at him in confusion, and Keely nudged his brother.
Besides, we already know your tricks. Tell him.
Feely glanced at Keely, like he was looking for strength, and then nodded. He lifted his chin up, as though facing down armies again.
I hacked info on you years ago. You were married not 6 months after Mum died.
His eyes flashed like cold blue fire.
You never wanted us at all, or you'd have come looking.
Campbell looked around, bemused.
What have you done to them? Criminals and liars, it seems. They're as bad as the rest of you.
No,
Thorin said sharply.
They're far better.
They've led you astray, boys, Campbell said, turning back to them imploringly. It was growing up without a father that did it, I know. I should have been there. But I'm here now. Let me make it up to you.
There you can be more wrong,
Keely said easily. He glanced around the room, eyes alight and shining with the peculiar joy Bilbo had only ever seen from the lad in the presence of his family.
We grew up without a lot of things, but never without a father.
He nodded deeply to Thorin, and Feely echoed the move, both of them fixed on their uncle.
Well said,
Balin said gently, moving carefully through the room to place himself at their backs, one hand on each of their shoulders as he stared down Campbell.
So the question is, why have you come now? What are you looking for from these boys, when it is clearly not the pleasure of their company, since you have shunned that all these years?
Campbell's face twitched, hardening into a much colder expression.
Very well, if that's how you want to play it. I want the boys, at least 2 weekends a month, and any time needed for interviews.
Interviews?
Thorin sounded positively feral now.
What interviews? And what right do you think you have to demand any part of these young men?
I'm finalizing a book deal now,
he said easily. Campbell had turned his back on the lads entirely, ignoring their presence. Bilbo stifled a grin with his hand as he saw Keeley easily lift the man's wallet and rifle through, tossing several small items to Feely, who was already hard at work on his mobile. Nori gave him a proud grin and a subtle thumbs up.
All about the way you kidnapped and twisted my children, and my ceaseless struggle to save and rehabilitate them. It's going to be a bestseller. Real tearjerker, I think. I'll want them for the publicity, and to provide details for veracity.
And if they refuse? Ori asked from a quiet corner, and then looked quite impressed by his own bravery in speaking up.
Well, it would be a shame to have so many questions raised about their upbringing and activities over the past few years,
Campbell said, sounding genuinely sorry. He was quite a fine actor, and Bilbo felt a little guilty for suspecting he knew where Keeley got some of his natural talent. And the memory of their mother, may she rest in peace, it seems a shame to disturb it with unprovable accusations. He let his voice trail off meaningfully.
Behind his back, Feely gave a silent fist pump of accomplishment, and Keeley carefully replaced the items in the wallet and slipped it back in place.
Campbell took no notice.
You will not speak of her,
Dwalin rumbled, suddenly looming tall over the hapless man.
To be honest, you won't speak of any of this,
Feely called out, all lazy grace and confidence again. He flipped his mobile high in the air and caught it with a cocky grin.
Or I'll be forced to publish all the details of these emails you just forwarded me. It would be a shame to have so many questions raised about your confessions of planned blackmail.
He raised an eyebrow at Campbell, who was gaping at him.
That and the stolen property you carry,
Keeley continued. He gestured at Campbell's left front pocket.
Get that off Smaug, did you? Is he the one who pointed you at us?
Campbell slapped a hand over the offending pocket, beginning to look frightened.
Now, see here, he began, addressing himself directly to Thorin. There's no need for this to get unpleasant. Just give me their time, and I'll see to it your name doesn't get dragged into it too deeply. I'm sure you did your best with them. Their failings are clearly the result of disturbed minds rather than poor upbringings.
The sideways glare of scorn he shot at the boys was enough to give the lie to that statement, and to make Bilbo's blood boil. He stepped forward, giving a quiet little cough. If you're quite finished insulting our youngsters, Mr. Campbell, I'm afraid I will have a bit of bad news for you. You will not be publishing a book at all. Campbell's face turned dark with rage.
How dare you interrupt us, you tag-along! I have serious business to conduct here, and none of it is your concern.
On the contrary,
Bilbo said easily. The adrenaline was flowing, and he felt like he was on top of the world.
You see, I'm writing a book on our adventures, and my agents are very concerned that my book should not suffer in profitability due to competition. I'm afraid my cousins, the Sackville Bagginses, are well known in their industry for being very protective of their clients. Cousin Lobelia has just emailed to assure me your purported book deal is already being tied up in enough red tape to keep you from publishing, giving interviews, or even so much as leaking information about the Sons of Durin for at least the next decade or two.
Assuming you survive that long,
Dwalin growled. He folded his arms across his broad chest with an audible squeak of leather, and seemed to gain at least another foot in height as he towered over Campbell. Bilbo patted his elbow gently,
offering Campbell a half-smile. "It would probably be a good idea for you to leave now, and a better one for you to not come back again. You'll get nothing from any of us, I'm afraid. And even if you did, you have no room to speak of it."
"I have lawyers of my own,"
Campbell hissed, eyes in narrow slits as he glared around the room at the lot of them.
"Keep the brats, then, if you're so keen on them. I see I was lucky to get free of them, but I will have my say. Smaug isn't the only one with resources. There are plenty of sources out there with their eyes on you lot."
Bilbo glanced over to Thorin automatically, but could make no sense of the muddle of dark thoughts he could see chasing around the surface of Thorin's mind. He crossed his arms and nodded tightly at the door, and Campbell caved.
"Very well. Expect to hear from my lawyers."
He crossed to the door, then turned back to look at the lads, shaking his head.
"I knew you'd take after her and turn out no better than the rest of this lot. Serves her right to see her brats end up in this state."
He turned huffily and stormed off, though his would-be dramatic exit was rather ruined by Beaver slamming the door shut just behind him, leaving them to enjoy the sounds of Campbell stumbling back into the flashing lights of his own photographers.
"This cousin of yours?"
Thorin asked intently, laying warm hands on Bilbo's shoulders.
"Will she be able to keep him quiet?"
"You don't know Lobelia Sackville Baggins if you're asking a question like that," Bilbo said dryly, trying not to smirk. "He'll never open his mouth in public again. And if he does, she'll see every word discredited. Cousin Lobelia has a keen eye for protecting the profits of her house's books."
Nods and sighs of relief went around the room, but the sons of Durn were not about to relax. Bilbo watched the way they circulated, keeping eyes on the perimeter, the departing journalists, and most of all, the lads. He knew from experience it would take them all a while to let go of the event. Bilbo nudged Thorin gently, and they made their way over to Feely and Keely, who had flung themselves into a corner, sitting on the hard floor in a way that made Bilbo's bones ache with the jealousy of the middle-aged. They had their heads bent over Feely's laptop, and did not look up as Bilbo and Thorin approached. Thorin glanced down at Bilbo, eyes full of worry. He cleared his throat awkwardly, looming over the lads.
"I'm sorry,"
Thorin said. Bilbo blinked at him in surprise. Thorin was a man of action, and his words tended toward gruffness when he did speak. He did not apologize lightly.
"The man is a fool and a coward. But he was right. You never should have been forced to grow up as you did, missing so very much."
They looked up in unison, brown eyes and blue narrowed in identical looks of confusion. "We were never missing anything that mattered," Keely said quietly. Feely nodded in agreement.
"Your father was wrong about so many things,"
Thorin said, dropping to one knee to bring himself close to their level.
"You are the finest young people I've ever had the pleasure of knowing."
"Uncle Thorin?" Feely asked suddenly, looking unusually uncertain. "What about Mum? What would she have thought of how we live?" Keely fixed him with an intense stare at that, and they waited, nearly breathless, for his answer.
"My sister would have been as proud of you as I am,"
he answered without hesitation. Bilbo squeezed his shoulder silently, as pleased as he had ever been, and felt Thorin relax a little. "Lads," Bilbo asked after a quiet moment, as they seemed ready to turn back to their work, "I have to ask, are you doing crime again? Because you know you agreed to give that up."
"Not crime as such," Feely protested. "Just moving some information around. Information wants to be free."
"He means he's doing crime," Keely translated, nudging his brother's leg with a bare foot.
"But nothing harmful, and nothing that will get us caught."
"Leave them be,"
Thorin said, feeling rather miserably at hiding a smile.
"Give them room on this one, Bilbo. You can keep them all abiding all the rest of the time."
Bilbo pulled them both away as the lads went back to work, and he grinned mischievously at Thorin. "Never can stand up to those two, can you?"
Thorne gave a self-deprecating shrug.
It hasn't done them much harm. They turned out so much better than we ever might have hoped, despite everything that I did wrong.
Come on, then, Beaufort shouted, interrupting the moment. Bilbo spun around, startled, to see that the door was open and the rest of the group were gone, vanished into the darkness of the sudden night. He grabbed Thorne's arm and pulled him along, out into the crisp autumn air, where a fire was already beginning to crackle in their well-used fire pit.
No use moping around. Bit of fresh air will do us all good.
Frodo came running, dragging a contingent of loud children behind him, and they found their laughing way to their parents as the light and smell of the fire drew all the people of the mountain. Bilbo shoved Thorne along until they were close enough to feel the warmth of the flames, and pulled them down to sit against a fallen tree. Conversation broke out all around them, and bits of song and laughter, but Bilbo and Thorne remained silent, leaning in together. "He said Smaug isn't the only one watching us," Bilbo said after a while. "Who else might it be? Should we be worried?"
"We're working on it, Uncle Bill,"
Feely said, appearing out of nowhere to sit by Thorne's feet.
"We still have sources of our own, you know."
Keely collapsed half on top of his brother, sprawling long limbs everywhere.
"Don't tell them that, Fee. They'll keep us under lock and key forever."
"Never again,"
Thorne said gently. He dropped a hand on Feely's head, and then moved it down to squeeze Keely's arm.
"Only good things from now. That's what this place means."
It wasn't a realistic dream, and Bilbo knew that they all knew it. But in the crisp air of the evening, with the stars coming out overhead and their latest threat neutralized, it was easy enough to believe. He smiled up at the sky, heart too full for words, and listened to the sounds of life around him. Life was good on their lovely, lonely mountain.
Stiffing your mahini, honey, sugar, massy, you're the bahoo.